Our scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter, beginning with the 21st verse. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. If you've ever been stung by a wasp, and I have many times, you know what a painful thing that is. The Bible describes death and how we have to deal with it in this life as a sting. So when was the first time that you were, if you will, stung by the wasp of death? How old were you in your life when you first had to deal with that horrific pain that it may cause? Now, there are different size wasps, there are different size stingers, and some have a different type of venom in them as well. Certain deaths that we have to deal with and certain times that we deal with death and stages of our life, it may impact us differently. I remember the first sting that I felt of death when I was about 4 was when my grandfather had died. And I remember the difficulty of just watching my mom cry so much. And it went on for months sometimes. At family devotions, if we just sang the right hymn, she would just start crying. And that was probably the first wasp sting of death I felt, was just having to watch someone so close to me that I loved be so bothered and hurt by death. There was another sting that I felt at that time that was for my grandma, having lost her husband, and watching her have to deal with the consequences now of an empty house and being so lonely and just missing my grandpa so much. Death isn't just some hypothetical subject, it's a reality that affects human beings in their lives. It affects families, just like we see the one in our text today. These sisters were still dealing with the wasp sting of their brother's death. They'd watched him go through this illness, and now it had to bury him, and that was a very difficult time, I'm sure, as anyone here knows who's gone through the loss of a loved one. It's interesting that the Holy Spirit chose, through the evangelist John, to devote an entire chapter, one entire chapter, to just observing how this family dealt with death, and more importantly, how our Lord Jesus Christ walked them through this. And of course, we know the great miracle of Lazarus' resurrection that we see at the end of this chapter. Death and its consequences are not just some subject for theological debate and theological study. It's not just a subject, it is real life. And it touches and impacts real human beings in their lives and affects their lives dramatically. And it hurts us when it comes. It can sting us on such a very personal level. And so the sting that you and I feel at times dealing with people's deaths is not just mythical, but it's very real. It's interesting to note the various stages or ways or levels, if you will, of how we have to deal with death. We read about it in the newspaper of somebody that dies that we maybe didn't know, and it still bothers us. But when we know the person, then it kind of has a different impact on us. We can read the obituaries with the years up in the 80s and 90s and so on, and it saddens us to think of the loss for those families. But if we're detached from it, it doesn't have quite the same barb to it, quite the same sting to it when it happens inside of our families. I remember sometimes it matters too how old the person is. I remember years ago at a youth gathering that a teenage girl said to me once after a pastor had been preaching about a young person dying, and she said this: "I don't mind it when an old person dies, but when I hate it when they talk about it when a young person dies." Isn't that interesting? That the age of the person somehow has a different way of affecting us with that sting. Well, for me, the sharp sting that I finally felt was in about ninth grade when the girl that sat right behind me in class was killed in a car accident. And I remember that one hit me differently than my grandfather's death or than other people in our congregation that had died. When I was in grade school, my teacher said to us one day, I can still remember, it was such a powerful thing he said, I can remember exactly where he was standing. He said, "There are 18 of you here in the classroom. According to national statistics, one of you will be dead before you all get out of high school." And I remember we just sat there, paralyzed by it for a minute. By lunchtime, we were kind of laughing about it and joking with our friends and all talking about it. Little did we know, it would be Scott, the one who was gone by age 16. By the time I was 25, already six of my friends and classmates from very small schools had been killed in car accidents. Six. We tend to ignore this evil enemy that we have in life. Especially when we're young, it's easy to just kind of think we've got this great big long buffer zone between us and really having to deal with that wasp. But rather than trying to ignore it and turn away from it, which is the way the world would have us deal with it, our Lord Jesus invites us to come with him and walk right up to the grave and confront it and with his power face it in a completely different way than the world would tell us to do. It's interesting, verses ahead of the ones that I just read to you from John 11, we hear this, that while they were on their way, Jesus says to his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I am going there to wake him up." Now, I want you to think about those words. What lighter imagery could Jesus have used to depict death? What less significant thing that could he have chosen to use as imagery to show his power and superiority, the Lord and giver of life? How could he possibly have put it, made it seem any smaller and less significant than waking up a four-year-old child from a nap? Just think how little and insignificant this vicious enemy is to us. Think how little and tiny and insignificant it is to God, the powerful God, here before us in this text in our Lord Jesus Christ in human form. Think how insignificant death is to God. Now, Jesus' statement to Martha is very telling. He says these famous, beautiful words we all treasure. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he asks her that great question, "Do you believe this?" He's not just trying to see if Martha has bought into the concept of resurrection and its possibilities, but he is specifically drawing attention, her attention and ours, to faith. Do you believe this? And the reason is this: as small and insignificant as it is, faith in Christ is the very thing that lets you look at death as asleep. And that's why his question is so real and pertinent for every one of us with this thing that we're facing in our future. Do you believe this that Jesus says? "I am the resurrection and the life." Faith in Christ brings him with us to our own graves, and with him all of the stings of the wasp have been pulled out and removed. So how much clearer could Jesus make it to show you his great power over death, and that death is something that's insignificant both to him and now to you? Jesus could have told you, in order to defeat death, that you better make sure that your body is as good a shape as you could ever get it, and you better be really focused on staying physically ready. He could have told you that in order to defeat death, you better study hard and make sure that your intellect is as expanded and broad and wide as you can get. He could have told you, you better find a way to summon all of the power of earthly authorities onto your side if you're going to beat it. But no, he wanted you to be confident that he is the Lord over all this. And so all he says to you, the only thing he says is, just have faith. Just believe. This tiny little thing inside of us that the Holy Spirit puts there, trusting in Christ as our Savior who died for our sins to give us eternal life, that tiny little thing of faith that a microscope can't find, so insignificant to the world that the world laughs at it, Jesus picks that little thing and says, that's what beats death. Just believe and trust in me. And I've always thought it's wonderful that at the end of the Apostles' Creed, we close confessing our faith in those beautiful words. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. With Christ at your side, you no more have to try to ignore death, but you can face it head on and defy it. Because by faith, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. Let's rise. And we pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you delivered your Son up for our offenses and raised him again for our justification. We beseech you, grant us your Holy Spirit that he may rule and govern us according to your will. Graciously keep us in this true faith. Defend us from all sins. And after this life, raise us up to eternal life. Through the same, your beloved Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.